Wow, it was so good to see you guys sing this morning. Did you enjoy hearing the children sing "This Little Light of Mine"? Yeah. Well, it's such a joy to be with you today, and I'm glad to take communion with you. It's always a joy for me. I got the adults, so I got the wrong end of the stick today. Whoever got the children given the communion, you guys won. Yeah, so you got to share what we're really passionate about here, which what the adults are going to talk about pretty soon, which is a continuous focus on the future. Now, when I was a little boy, my mom took me to church like your moms and dads have today, right? And my mother told me a really key thing when I was a kid, which you all know, which is Jesus loves me. Let's say that together. Jesus loves me. That's right. Now, it's really important that you know that. And then later on, for some reason, we forget about that, right, adults? For some reason, we forget when we're older that Jesus loves us, that he likes us, and that he knows each and every one of your names. All right, so somebody told me when I was 20 years old, gave me this little piece of paper, and it says, "Why Jesus?" And I didn't know, I'd forgotten, I think, that Jesus loved me, and Jesus liked me, and Jesus knew my name. So he gave me this book, and he says, "Read this book," and it was all about what Jesus thinks of me, and how there was a hole missing in my life, and how the only way that I would have full joy is if I know that Jesus loves me, right? Yeah. And so this person, his name was Mike, had a continuous focus on the future, and he told me about Jesus through this little book. And in the back, there's a prayer, kind of just like the one we just sang. What was the song we just sang? The Lord's Prayer, that's right. And there's a bit in the back to pray, and it says, say the Lord's Prayer, and I said the Lord's Prayer, and I asked God when it said, forgive us our trespasses, which means sins and debts, and basically things that I don't think God would like that I was doing. So I spent some time asking God to forgive me, and you know what happened the next day? I knew God would forgive me. That's right. I knew that Jesus loved me. And so I told everybody around me that actually Jesus loved me even though I was 20 years old. And Mike had a continuous focus. I keep this in my office. When you guys come into my office, you can see it on the shelf because it's a 30-year-old book, right? And I knew that Jesus loved me, and I still know that today. And my job is to make sure that each and every one of you, ding, 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 and Miss Amanda on the end, ding, 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 all of you know, and Melissa down the bottom there, yeah, all of you know that Jesus loves you, Jesus likes you, and he knows each and every one of your names. And because of that, our church has a continuous focus on the future for you. And we can't wait to see you every week, right, Miss Nasty? We're going to have the children here singing? Just kidding. Every week we tell them that Jesus loves them because we've got a focus on the future. So let's say it together, Jesus loves you, Jesus likes you, and he knows my name. That's right. All right, raise your hand up in the air like this. Bring them together like this. Bring them down like this. Thank you, Jesus, for this brand new day. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that you like me, and that you know my name. May we know this all the days of our lives. We thank you for our parents bringing us here today, and we're thankful for those that bring us up to follow you. We're thankful in through the power of Jesus' holy name, Jesus' name, that we pray. Amen. Yay. All right. So glad you could be here. Well, some of the people that make sure that this ministry happened are with us today. Miss Natalie is here. Stand up, Miss Natalie. Miss Amanda's here. And Miss Amanda down there. You can drop the kid now. Thank you. Yeah. Hey, and we have been remiss to tell you we've been doing some reorganizing in our staff. And so we've got some new people doing our discipleship ministry, making sure our children are focused on. And so Amanda Reed is here. She is now our youth director. Yeah, yeah. Natalie is our children's director, Natalie Chamberlain. And last but not least, she is responsible for those who come into the nursery. So the first person people see, this is Amanda Rayborn. Amanda has been here for a long time as part of the Stars and Comets staff before and after care, but we're excited to have her here on Sunday. She was bored on Sunday, so we hired her here to be a part of, the nursery team. So please make sure you make yourself aware of our people here and our team. Make sure they know your name, so if you want to help with them and their ministries. But please, clap them as they go off to the platform and off to your ministry. All right, go with your teachers. Thanks, guys. Important question to ask you this week. What investment have you made in the future? What investment have you taken out just recently and you are excited for the return of your investment, the ROI that you're going to get? Where have you invested in that you know in the future it is going to go beyond your wildest dreams? What investments have you made in the future? My name is Keith Arkham. I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor. And we're in our fourth week of our vision statement here at Palm Harbor, which is to lead people to a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Were you here last week? You've forgotten it. Ready? Here we go then. Ready? Let's say this together. Lead people to a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Yes, that is our vision here. Everything we do with the children, everything we do at this campus, that is our chief aim, that people would leave here knowing that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. And the way we do that here on this campus, and possibly other churches too, but the way we do it here on this campus is we have five core values of the way we achieve this. And here they are. Here we did the first week, we talked about open-hearted generosity and about the widow who gave all she had, the widow's mite. She gave all she had into the treasury, into the temple as an offering to the Lord. She gave everything. It was because of her open heart. And we have, second is excellence in Christian development. Everything we do here at Palm Harbor, we teach the children how to follow Jesus. That's the chief educational aim, is that people would learn to follow Jesus. Continuous focus on the future is our third one. We'll be talking about that today. Hopefully you've seen some of that with our children today. And then next week we'll talk about our commitment to missions, when we'll have a missions fair next week in the multipurpose room. And then finally we'll have passionate participation. Some of you are the epitome of that, those of you that come each week and participate in the life of the church. Having a continuous focus on the future is absolutely purposeful for everything that we do around here at Palm Harbor. We focus on our children. Here's what we do. Here's the continuous focus on the future. We're going to say this together. This is the undercurrent of what we mean by that. Here we go. Let's say this together. We make investments in the next generation, raising children and youth to recognize our calling. So that's why we have Henry reading the scripture, which, as you all agree, did a better job than me. Amen? Yeah. And that's why we have young people preaching here on the platform so that they can hone and develop their faith and their calling in this kind of crazy world that we're in right now. More on that later. That's why we are a part of making sure that we pour back into, as much as we can, the children we have here. That's why I might stop a conversation with you in the lobby in order to stoop down to the little ones who've got like a couple of seconds with. We must have a continuous focus on the future, amen? Investing in someone is really important. It's kind of risky. Investing in something more than a thing is, it doesn't always give you the ROI that you think you're going to get. Investing in somebody might seem risky and might seem dangerous sometimes, but it's the best investment that you can make. Sometimes we're investing in people we're not sure what kind of that's going to make in the future. We're not sure what might come from that in the future. Even in our sowing and even in the way we are investing in a person or a program, we don't always get to see the results of what we've been investing with, especially when we're talking about people. Julie and I found ourselves at a small church in Stubbington, which is a small village in the south of England. And at this Church of England church, on Friday night, the students were bored. There was nothing to do in this little village. And so Julie and I and four other volunteers, two couples, we had all the students in the neighborhood come to our church for youth group. And there was about 100 kids here at this particular venue, and we had like all sorts of stuff going on. We had 10 minutes set aside for a God spot when we told them to be quiet for a moment while we told them about who Jesus was. And it was absolute mayhem every week. The parish church council were like, oh no, what's going to happen this week, you know, kind of thing. They were knocking down the fences and messing up the church grounds. And then finally, when they were smoking in the bathrooms and drinking vodka, the PCC decided to close it down. But in and amongst that time, we got to know students who were at different phases in their life. 10 of the kids that were in this 100-member youth group, it was called FAST, by the way, Friday at 7:30. You get it? FAST, Friday at 7:30. And that's when we had this group. And when they closed it down, we realized there were some people in that group, 10 of the kids that were like, hey, what about us? They came to church on a Sunday. They were part of the families that were bringing them. Like, what about us? Like, we see all this stuff going on, but can you help us out? We didn't know what we were investing in, Julie and I. And on Sunday, these people would come to church for like traditional Sunday school. And there was one kid, I'll never forget him, Simon. And he'd be sitting in the corner reading his Bible. And we'd break dance together and we'd do goofy stuff together, you know, kind of thing. But now and again, he'd stop and he'd say, hey, Keith, what about this in the Bible? What does this mean? And life went by. You know, Julie and I had children. We moved to the States. And then there was 15 years ago, something like that, this thing came out called Facebook. Have you heard about it? And this thing came out and we were looking through the Facebook thing. And we seen a picture of Simon Cooper. And he had hold of a child like this, and he was baptizing him. He had a collar on. Dang, what's happening? What happened to you? You know, like, what's going on in your life? What's God doing in your life? He's like, and so I got to interview him, and I interviewed him via Zoom. Thank God for Zoom. And I said, you know, what propelled you? What propelled you to get involved in ministry? Like, what was it that we did there? Because as far as Julie and I were concerned, we were doing nothing, right? What was it that helped you? What investments were made in your life that helped you to decide to answer the call of God in your life and become a Church of England minister? What happened? He says, well, I had good role models. His father was struggling with alcoholism at the time. He says, I had good role models. Mark Cole was there, and so was Stephen Gale, and he was the minister at Holyrood Church. He says, obviously yourself's in that too, you and Julie. And he says, I answered the call to ministry, and I thought that I wanted to invest in the future too. I said, so what are you going to do with your ministry? You know, you were always the goofy kid, you know. And he says, well, how are you going to do that? How are you going to invest? He says, if I could pass on, I love what he says here. If I could pass on some of the energy and enthusiasm of who God is, what Christ has done for me, if I could impart some of that thrill, I'd be happy. I thought that was good. I thought that was a good investment to make. We had like an hour-long interview. But he said, if I could pass on some of that energy and some of that enthusiasm of what Christ has done for him and impart some of that thrill, I'd be happy. That was a good interview. It was a rare time when I got to see some beautiful fruit. What about you? What are you investing in? What have you invested in this week that is you're really happy where it's going to grow in the future? Maybe it's going to go up like this. Maybe it's going to go like this. Maybe it's going to go like most of my life like this, you know, kind of thing. Where have you invested that you are going to be excited about where it comes out in the future? Saul had a continuous focus on the future. Saul, who became Paul, who was responsible for 2/3 of the New Testament, who immediately, when his life was transformed, traveled around the Mediterranean to different churches, planting them, encouraging them, inspiring courage into young leaders. And on his first missionary journey that we call it, he bumped into a young man named Timothy. Timothy was receptive to the gospel. Timothy heard from Paul and he understood it. And Paul noticed something in him. And he said, would you read scripture on Sunday morning? No, he didn't say that. What did he say? He said, come with me. Come with me and be a part of this message as I go around the Mediterranean. And he witnessed him. He got to see what happened in his life. He got to see some of the persecution he went through for proclaiming the gospel. And still, he followed him. And still, he did what Paul did. He modeled what Paul did and became a young leader in the church, became the kind of person that people would follow even though he was young Timothy. And Timothy had grown up in his culture. He'd grown up as a Jew. And his Jewish mother had taught him the scriptures well. He had a Greek father, a Jewish mother, and the Jewish mother had drummed into him, Jesus loves you. Jesus likes you. God loves you. God likes you. And he knows your name. So the scripture that Henry read to you today talks about Timothy, and you've got your Bible with you today. Go there. We're in 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we start at 14, but just as a preamble to that, Paul talks about the last days and to be looking out for people who act religious. He says, they will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. Those people oppose the truth. And then he goes on this like, but you, Jenny, but you. He says, but you, Timothy, know what I teach and how I live. Pay attention to that. I was persecuted. You've seen everything that I went through and yet still proclaimed Christ Jesus as Lord. And then he goes to his next, but you, verse 14, chapter 3, verse 14. But you must refrain, Remain faithful, sorry, to the things you've been taught. You know they are true. You know you can trust those who taught you. You've been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. He says to this young kid, says to him, remain faithful to what your mother and grandmother has taught you. They're the kind of people that set you up for where the Scriptures have always pointed to, where the Tanakh, the what we call the Old Testament, has always pointed to, which is the Messiah, Christ Jesus, whom we trust in. He says to him, pay attention to these people. Remember those people, because God has used it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. So the next bit, he says, he's been saying, but you. Now he says, I solemnly urge you. So it's like a commissioning. Verse 1 of chapter 4. I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he comes to set up his kingdom. What's he say? Preach. Four things he says. Preach the word of God. Be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not, in the NIV, in season and out of season. Patiently correct and rebuke. Notice that word there. Patiently correct and rebuke. Think about it before you correct and rebuke somebody, whether it's fitting and fitting with the scripture. Patiently correct and rebuke. And encourage your people with good teaching. Our children that hear this morning singing, and our children that you all know, kids, grandkids, nieces, nephews, are going to get a message at some point, like I did when I was 20, that it's teaching that doesn't come from the scripture. But you know when you heard it, and you are going to hear it from your kids and grandkids. Here's the teaching that's not from the scripture. You're not good enough. You will never amount to anything. Your input doesn't matter. Anybody heard that? Anybody? I've heard that. That is not from the scriptures. It's not good teaching. Amen? And these children, every time I think that they might have heard that message, it hurts my soul. Every time I think, oh, I could have said something that made them feel like that, I think they're in the wrong church. This is not what church is about. We teach this child right here. We teach the children we're responsible for. Guess what? God has created you for something beautiful. God has created you so that you could have a full life, that you could live a life that is full. And God wants to be a part of that. He wants to love you. He doesn't make you feel bad and shame and fear and thinking about everybody else is talking about you all the time. Don't chase after myths. Don't chase after myths. He says, preach. A time's coming, he says in verse 3, where a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. Oh, there's plenty of things out there to listen to. There's plenty of things that we're listening to. Everybody's got AirPods in. Everyone's got ears in. Everybody's listening to something on their phone. First thing in the morning, you listen to podcasts. You listen to Insta posts. You listen to reels. You listen to all sorts of things that people are saying out there. Paul says, you'll hear about this thing called the World Wide Web. And the World Wide Web will be accessible to all of us. And we'll be like, yay, we've got all the information in the world. We're going to be so smart. We're going to make really good decisions. Right? Never before have we had access to so much information, and yet still we make dumb decisions. Paul says, don't chase after myths. Think about what your mother and your grandmother taught you about the scriptures. Think about what you learned in church growing up. Think about how much people loved you when you were growing up, and how much people put the worth in you and encouraged you to follow Jesus. It goes back to the but yous. Verse 5. But you should keep a clear mind. Oh, God, give us a clear mind. Amen? Keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you. Work at telling others the good news. Sometimes it's work. Sometimes it takes a long time for people to receive the good news and to know that, oh, it's for me, it's for my head, it's for my heart, it's for my life to flourish. Sometimes it takes a long time, amen? As for me, I love this. This is Paul, like, on his deathbed. This is Paul, like, I'm done. I've had enough. As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have remained faithful. And now, the prize which awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. Paul's like, I'm done. I've focused on the future. I've invested in people like you, Timothy. He had other people as well, but I've invested in people like you. I've passed on all that I know about God and all that I know on myself to you, and you're going to receive it, and I'm off. I'm like, I'm gone, and I'm excited. Tim, you're going to do the funeral for me. I'm going to make sure that everybody knows at my funeral that the gospel is the best way to live your life. Amen? And hopefully, if I just croak and fall down the stairs today, you'll do the same for me. Paul says, I'm not bothered. I'm not bothered about where I'm going now. I know what I've done. I've invested all I can. Some of you know some of those that have passed at Palm Harbor. Some of you know people who have passed, and it was really easy to do their funeral. Because we all knew where they were going. We all knew where their life pointed to. We all knew what they would have wanted to say at their funeral. Jerry Osborne passed a year and a bit ago, and everybody knew what Jerry was passionate about. Everybody knew, and her daughter proclaimed here on this platform what Jerry wanted everybody to know. Little did he know his wife would pass almost a year exactly to the day, the year later after that, Sylvia Osborne would pass. And at Sylvia's funeral, I was kind of excited to do Sylvia's funeral. Everybody knew what we were going to say. Oh, I'm so thankful for Sylvia. I'm so thankful for Sylvia because she passed on the gospel to the next generation. She says, off I go. I'm not bothered what other people say. I know that my life points to Jesus. I know the next generation knew that, whether I was standing on my head or standing upright. Everybody knew where Sylvia was pointing her life to. What about you? Consider today where you're making investments in the future. Here at Palm Harbor, we have a continuous focus on the future. And your challenge today, if you're not doing it already, is make an investment in the future. Pick one child that you are investing in, and you want to impart to them the joy of the gospel, the joy of what it means to follow Christ. Now, if you don't know any children yet, I've got a bunch here for you that you can invest in. And if you think that parents know it all and you think that the parents have got that kid, it's fine. Believe me, you're wrong. Seriously, speak to Amanda Reed that was here. Speak to Natalie Chamberlain, speak to Amanda Rayborn, and ask them, how can I invest in the next generation? How can I make investments so that children, these children, would recognize their calling and rise up to be the next ministers, would be the new Timothys, would be women and men who are passionate about following Jesus. Would you consider that charge today? Consider making investments in the future and have a continuous focus on the future. Amen.